Amen. Please take your Bible, turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. We'll begin reading in verse number 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, for your word, and once again for teaching us from your word by the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you because he gives us understanding, and he helps us to make connections in the scriptures. And God, then we see you as we should. We see ourselves. We know how we ought to respond, how we ought to act. And God, I thank you for that. I thank you for the scriptures that teach us so plainly about what you expect, but not only that, how we can be before you. I pray that you would open our ears, our minds to the truth tonight. And that, God, you'd be glorified by the change of our heart, our mind, our direction. I beg you to give me wisdom and unction from the Holy Spirit of God in conveying these truths as you've imparted them through the scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the title of tonight's message is, Do You Have a Clear Conscience? It would be impossible for us to stand and say, well, I am so righteous that God's accepted me. Now, we do stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The only person that's righteous enough to stand in the presence of God is Jesus himself. And so we know that this scripture does have something to do with that it references Jesus and his ability to stand in righteousness and his ability to trust God in the circumstance, and his ability to deliver us into his presence, into the presence of God, and stand in his righteousness cleanly. But there's also a significant part of this that we have to recognize, that the Holy Spirit of God allowed David to write about his circumstance. And that's what I want to deal with tonight. Although there's really one interpretation here, the truth is, you and I don't have the ability. You can never say, I have always been righteous. I've always kept the word of God. I've never strayed from it. It's impossible. David didn't do it, and we can't do it. But we can have a clear conscience. And that's exactly, if you'll turn to Acts 23, we're going to go through some verses to kind of get us started into this thought. The Apostle Paul was very clear, and probably is the best New Testament example that we have of what we should strive for as believers before other believers and before the world. And Paul was certainly very concerned about how his conscience was before others. So, was he able to, with a clear conscience, defend himself? That's what we're talking about. Not, I never did anything wrong, but in this particular matter, did I do anything wrong? So he says there in chapter 23 of Acts, verse number 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." So Paul was able to stand and declare the reason that he was being attacked and accused was because he was accused of conspiracy against the Jewish religion, and he was being accused of and standing in the court of the Jews, giving an answer for himself, and he's able to say, "Listen, concerning the law and concerning the thing that he's being accused of, I stand before God and all men with a good conscience." Can it be done? Yes, it can. It sure can. Look at Acts 24, verse number 16. Paul speaking, giving defense before Felix, and he says, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." You and I should desire and live a life that is void of offense toward God and all men in our conscience. Now, he's not talking about a sinless life. He's talking about being able to give an account and his conscience not bother him about what he's saying. So he's not a politician, obviously. He's a man who can stand with a good conscience and give an account for himself. Let me say that what I'm trying to give us a place to start is it's not necessary that you be sinless. It's necessary that you have answered to God and give an account, and that you are willing to give an account to men for whatever you have done or not done. And you can't do it if you're guilty about something. You'll see how this all ties together and applies to us here, I hope, in just a few moments. At least I did as I was studying it, and so we'll just see what happens. Romans chapter number 9 and verse number 1. "I say the truth," Paul writing again, "by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart." Paul, when he spoke so that his conscience would not be bruised or harmed by what he said. So he's saying, I've begged God. I have no problem telling you this, that I pray for my brethren, the Jews. I know that it's controversial among Gentiles and even among some Jews, but I'm telling you, I'm begging God that they would know God, and I can witness to them with a clear conscience. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse number 12, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word." So Paul says, I've lived the right life in the world. Now this is by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. This isn't a man bragging. Sometimes you hear somebody say, "I have a clear conscience in this matter." You should have a clear conscience in a matter that you're defending yourself. And he's defending himself in front of the Corinthians because he's being accused of being something that he's not. Those men came in their power, those false teachers. Paul did not. He came in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and he came revealing the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of men. And so he very easily says, "I have a good conscience before the world when I lived in Corinth, and I have a good conscience before you," he says this, "more abundantly to you word." We should desire to have a clear conscience before one another. Why? It gives us the ability to speak, to commune, to have fellowship with one another. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And Timothy is probably, 1 and 2 Timothy are probably the books that are most
that the conscience is most written in. We're just going to look at a few verses. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. Am I in the right? Yes, I am. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all along suffering for a pattern to them which would hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, with some having put away concern, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So Paul says, I want you to know that I believe that this is necessary, and this is what I'm teaching you, Timothy, that you have a good conscience concerning the faith, that you have a good conscience concerning the way you're supposed to act. Paul said, I want to be careful that I'm not a castaway when I preach. Now, please stay with me. It doesn't mean he was perfect. We're not looking at sinless perfection here. Your conscience is something that, the conscience is something that God gave everyone. The reason that some people think they're worthy of heaven is because they actually have a good conscience about the way they live. The thing is, your conscience doesn't get you to heaven. You have to be saved. So it's a spiritual transaction, but the conscience is something that God has given us so that you and I can stand and say, I have a clear conscience. Oh, no. Not that I've never sinned. Not that I maybe haven't sinned in this matter, but I've gotten it right. See, it doesn't have anything to do with being without sin. It means that you've gotten right, you're willing to stand, you're willing to give an account. Look at verse number, at 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So Paul is saying to Timothy, in all sincerity, and you could see, if you could see my conscience, you would know that I pray for you, that I remember you, that I'm concerned about you. Don't tell somebody you're going to pray for them if you're not going to pray for them. Why? You can't have a good conscience. Don't take names down and act like you're all concerned about people and then never look at the prayer requests again. Don't say you'll pray for a missionary and never pray for them. Why? Well, you want to have a good conscience. When they come, you want to say, I've been praying for you. And you want to be able to do it truthfully. Don't grab somebody and say you've been praying for them if you haven't. Why? Well, you're lying. You can't have a good conscience. Brother Ron, I don't like the word lying. Well, what do you call it? Well, I'm trying to be spiritual. That's lying. If you say you're going to do something, or you're going to be somewhere, or you say you're going to make a commitment, follow through. Why? So you'll have a good conscience. If somebody comes to you and says, I miss you. Watch, this is my favorite thing. I'm using this. This is a springboard for where we're going. I love this. Because somebody says to, I'll use Brother Mark because he's always here on the second row. Now, next week he's not going to be here. But he already told me he's not. But he sits here. And so let's say he's sick and he misses. And you walk up to him and you say, man, I missed you on Sunday. And he goes, why? You know what I'm going to think? He was doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing. He has a real guilty conscience. I'm going to go, what were you doing? Where were you? Well, I decided to go to the beach in Kansas. That's what I'm talking about. I left. He really is leaving, going to the beach. But, well, what were you doing? Well, I didn't go to church that day. Well, that's the way you respond if you have a guilty conscience. You know what they say, throw a stone in a pack of dogs and the one it hits is going to yelp. Or, let's see, what was my dad? My dad always used to say something about the guilty something. Always says some. See, that's how important it was. But I'm trying to think of the word that he said, but I'm sure I can't. So it's not in my notes. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Verse number 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be all ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So we can go back to Psalm 18. I think we have a pretty good basis for talking that David is able, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, to write about his conscience, not his perfectness. The reason that this came into my mind is in reading some of the commentaries that I read, and I only read commentaries to follow thoughts. I don't read them to get ideas. I write the message, and then I read commentaries to see if I'm like 5 miles off base. And usually, there's going to be two guys that agree with me, and if two, that's where two or more are gathered. There he is in the midst. So there's three of us. But it is interesting, and this is what I'm trying to get to read commentaries of people that struggle with this scripture. It's interesting. Why? Well, there's no way that David could have been writing about himself. And they never refer to it being the fact that it's Jesus. But if you think about this and you think about the answer we already have in the title, which is to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said. So David's not writing about, he's not writing about his life being perfect. He's writing about having a clear conscience in the matter specifically concerning Saul. What did Saul accuse him of? Well, Saul knew that he was going to take the kingdom. Why? He was anointed by God. And so Saul pursued him. David could have killed Saul several times, but his answer was, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. In fact, when his men said, now's your chance, he said, no, I will not touch God's anointed. When he cut off the hem of the robe, when Saul was covering his feet in the cave, he felt bad about just doing that. Why? Because he didn't believe that he should touch God's anointed. You want to talk about somebody who lived with a conscience toward God? He considered God in every... He kept saying, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. I will not touch the Lord's anointed. I will not and you will not. Why do you trouble me? Don't trouble me. I'm not going to do it. Did God take care of it? Yes. So can you see when David is delivered from the hand of Saul, why he could say, no, in this matter, I completely had a very good conscience. I never thought to do harm or take over the kingdom or confuse or take away the love of Jonathan from his father. In fact, here's how clear his conscience was. And this is when you know you've got a clear conscience towards a person. When Saul died, he murdered the Amalekite. He killed the Amalekite. And then he mourned Saul, Jonathan, and his sons. Because he loved them. You know why we have problems getting along with people? Because our conscience isn't clear toward them. If you're doing right, you don't have to have any attitude at all. And you can stand before God with a clear conscience. Now, wouldn't that be preferred? That's what Paul said. I want to stand before God and men with a clear conscience. So back in our scripture, we can now see in verse 20, 21, through verse number 24, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, or the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. See, he's talking about the cleanness of his hands. He's not talking about necessarily his righteousness, but his righteousness in the action against Saul. He can say, I didn't do anything wrong to my enemies. Doeg was an enemy. He wanted to take David out so he could gain notoriety in the kingdom of Saul. And he shouldn't have even been in the kingdom of Saul. But David says, no, I know what they did. David could stand and say, I have clean hands in this matter. Listen, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Did he do it all his life? No. In this matter, he knew exactly how he should act toward the king. Read it. There are plenty of examples. And if you don't believe that David's speaking of himself, there's plenty of examples that Jesus had a clear conscience. So it can apply either way. But for David, if you look at his life, when he played the harp in front of King Saul, he didn't talk about, man, one day. He was like, bring, bring, one day I'm going to be king because you're such a loser. He had no attitude about it. David was sitting there. Saul threw the javelin at him. He flees. He doesn't try to get back. He doesn't pick the javelin out of the wall and try to throw it back. No. He has a clear conscience in this matter. Just go with me here. The problem is that we act, even in our minds, we may not say it, but we love to tell people how we gave somebody a piece of our mind and how good that did us. Well, let me tell you how it harms your conscience when you go to have a relationship with them. I heard a preacher say this very recently, and it was this. You know the people that you hate most? If they're saved, they're going to heaven with you forever. And it would be nothing for God to put them right next door to you. Why? You know you'll love them then. You'll have no choice. Isn't it ironic that the very people that are going to heaven with us, we have the biggest problem with? Isn't it ironic that the people we hurt most in our lives are the people that we say we love most? It's ironic. When children say, I love you, and they do things to break your heart. Or a parent says, I love you, and they do things to break the children's heart. And how often we can say, well, I can stand with a clear conscience. Really? Watch this. This is not his attitude. I'm standing with a clear conscience and Saul got what he deserved. No, that's not what he's saying. In fact, toward the end of this, we'll catch exactly what he's saying. He is simply standing and giving an account for the way he handled himself. The Bible says he was wiser than anyone that stood before Saul. That he behaved himself very wisely. That he was observed as being a proper person in front of these people. No. It wasn't fake. It was real. That's how he can say, I have a clear conscience before God, and this is why God delivered me. This is why God did what God did. When I prayed, he heard me. If you want God to hear you, and you want to know that the prayer that you're praying is right, have a good conscience before God. Don't pray to God and say, I need you to kill this person. Do you remember when Jesus is walking with the disciples and they go into a little village and the village rejects him and the disciples say, let's call down a fire from heaven and let's burn the place up. And Jesus said, you have no idea what's going on here. You have no idea who you're following. You don't understand one bit of this. Why? Because that's not our call. David's not calling them into judgment. He's saying, I can say before you, in the Scriptures, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and before God. My hands were clean. I know that I kept the ways of the Lord and not wickedly departed from them. I know all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't just say iniquity. He talks about His iniquity. Well, what would His iniquity be? If you've ever heard or read, you go through the passage of Scripture that talks about David and Saul, you understand this, that David did have the right to take the kingdom. He did have, now I'm not talking about from God, but he had the right, according to the political structure in the world at that time and the way that other kingdoms worked, he could have taken the kingdom and no one would have batted an eye in Israel. Why? Because he had led them in and out of battles and destroyed the Philistines. Saul killed his thousands and David killed his tens of thousands. Remember that? They're all singing every time he came around. That's what got Saul all stirred up in the first place, besides the fact that God took his spirit from him and an evil spirit came on him. That's what stirred him up, was that David was walking wisely. That David was behaving himself correctly. That David's thoughts were not driving him. And so David says, no, God even knows mine iniquity. He knows what I could have done, but I didn't do because I knew that it was wrong. That, you know, that tells you how far his thought life went. He didn't act out. Now, let's see. If I do this and do this and do this, then I can shame Saul and I can do this. No, he wasn't Absalom. He was David. And he could say, in this matter, I did exactly what I was supposed to do. I kept myself from mine iniquity. Don't we sometimes, come on, let's be honest, don't we sometimes say things and then we excuse it by saying, well, that's just how I am? And you have a pretty guilty conscience, don't you? Because just how you are is not great with God. That's why, as born-again believers, we are to be changed. We are new creatures. Well, that's the way I was raised. Not good enough with God. David says, he knows that I kept myself from mine iniquity. My conscience is so clear that my thoughts didn't go past what I could have done because there was no sense in acting upon them. Therefore, I stopped them. I kept myself from mine iniquity. Well, I just am this way. I don't like people. Well, I used to say that. That's how I excused my very vicious attitude toward them. But you know what? I didn't like being around people because I didn't like being around me. I didn't have a clear conscience. Do you see the point he's making here? To move forward with God, especially in prayer, you and I have to have a clear conscience to make our prayer known. And it's not okay to excuse yourself and your actions. It's just not. Well, I did it because she. I did it because he. I did it because they. Could David have said that? Is anybody going to agree with that? No. He never was wronged at all. Okay, let's move away from David. Think about Joseph. When he became the leader in Egypt, he could have roached those guys. And nobody would have thought a thing about it. Except one thing. It would have ruined his story. God had a plan for him, and he wrote it down so that you and I could learn, you can keep yourself from your iniquity if you choose to. That's how you maintain a clear conscience. In verse number 25, he says, Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and his eyesight. Verse 25, with the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. David understood Exodus 34. Look at Exodus 34. Exodus 34 is Moses has talked to God, and he said to God, I want to see you. And God said, you can't see me and live, but I'll put you in the cliff and the rock, and I'll show you my hinder parts. And the Bible says in verse number 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now this is what David understood. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will be by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. Let me read that again. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. David understood his place before God because he says to him, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. David did not live a perfect life, but he did understand the pursuit of the heart of God, because he was a man after God's own heart, according to God's words, not David's. David said to Samuel, I already have chosen a man who is after my heart. David was that man. He understood and knew his place before God was a place of humility and recognition that he had it in him to sin, and God would show himself merciful if David showed mercy. Did he show mercy? He sure did. He never killed Saul. Did he show himself upright? He sure did. He never acted like the nations around him. Did he act with a pure conscience in the way that he acted toward Saul? Yes, he did. He absolutely did. He believed that God would do exactly what God said he would do, and that was make him king. David never believed he had to make himself king. That's why he had a good conscience. Then the Bible says, and he says, and to the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. Here's the bottom line. David understood, if I act on my own, and I try to take this into my own hands, God will allow me to take this into my own hands, and I will suffer the consequences. And he understands that specifically, especially in his act with Bathsheba and then numbering the people. He gets it. You and I need to have an understanding that God responds to us in fellowship the way we respond to him. Listen, if you have a problem with someone, and you're constantly bickering, and it never gets better, somebody has got to get a clear conscience in the deal and start acting right. Somebody's got to choose. David said, with God, it better be me that chooses. So it better be us. But read what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 2. Go over there in 1 Peter chapter number 2. Because here's what I've heard, people respond, and I even responded myself concerning this. The Bible says, verse number 21 of 1 Peter chapter number 2, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus was not worthy of death, to be railed on, to have his beard plucked, to be spat upon. Jesus wasn't worthy of any of that. He didn't deserve any of it. He, of all people, could have lashed out with angels and taken everybody out, or just thought, let's just destroy the whole place. But he didn't. And here's what the Bible says: that is your example, to follow his steps, not to be sinless and without guile, but to move in that direction rather than move in your iniquity direction. You want a clear conscience? You can always have a clear conscience when you're following Christ. You'll never have one when you're following your iniquity. "Well, I got back at them. I showed them." You may even be sitting here right now thinking, "I'm telling you what, I hope so-and-so's listening." Hey, you need to listen. I need to listen. Why? It's your conscience you can do something about. You can't do something about somebody else's conscience. You walk up to somebody else and say, "That, did you hear that message? You need to get your conscience cleaned up." Great. That's brilliant, because your conscience has got a sting right now. Why would you do that? Did that seem like I was mocking? Do you think God sits up and goes, "Well, I'm so glad they went to that person and told them they need to get their conscience right"? Well, Brother Ron, that's what you do. I'm only preaching the Bible. I am not telling you that you need to get your conscience right. You know about your conscience. That's a beautiful thing. I can preach this, and I have to live it, and you have to live it. But we all get to make our own choices. Nobody can make you have a good conscience, and you cannot fake yourself into having a good conscience. You can't ignore your conscience. You know how you are with God. You know what you think about others. So does God. If you pray for retaliation against a person just for retaliation's sake, you're praying with an attitude that God says, "Whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Vengeance is mine. I will repay." Why don't you pray and say, "God, I want to make sure that I'm right with you, so that when I do give an account for this situation in my life, I can say, I did things according to the scriptures." That's what David can say. It's a big bummer to live your life with a conscience that stings all the time. It's impossible to get along with people. David knew. He said, "I know how God acts toward people, and if I act right, if I draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto me." That's what he's saying. "I know how you are, God, because you've explained that about yourself." Verse number 27. "For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." There is no pride in obedience, just action. You can't say, well, I have a clear conscience, and I'm pretty proud of myself. I got a clear conscience, and I'm proud. Because I obeyed. It is just as simple as obedience. And then you take the credit for obeying? I love it. You know, I don't know how your kids, some of you have kids that are my kids' age. Some of you still have younger kids. But kids are all kids. They're still the same. I love it when you say, go clean your room. Then they come back and say, how much are you going to give me? Do you live here? That's what you're paying. You're keeping your room clean. Son, go out and scoop the dog stuff. How much are you going to give me? Do you eat? We have a society of people who think, if I obey the law, I should be rewarded. What other country is paying people to get a vaccination? We don't have that much money. In fact, we're so far in debt, we're never going to see debt-free life. It's amazing. Dave Ramsey has a show and nobody in the government listens to it. It's amazing. Think about this. We believe if we obey, we deserve. That's not what David thought. David was very practical in his obedience. In fact, the end result of his obedience is the statement that he makes in verse 28 and 29. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. David said, it isn't me. I didn't defeat my enemies. I didn't live this good life on my own. I didn't make the decisions on my own. God lit my candle. He gave me enlightenment to avoid and stay away from my iniquity. And he caused me to overrun, to overcome the enemy. But it was God that did the work. Why? Because I enjoyed a relationship of obedience with him. Is there reward in obedience? Yes, it's a clear conscience with God and with man. That really is the best reward for a person living a life in this world. Let me just boil this down to where God really laid on my heart these thoughts. They're not Bible truths, but I believe they're very practical so that you and I can understand. So David has overcome his enemies. David was able to pray and cry out to God. Then he was able to say, I did it with a clear conscience. I acted properly. I handled myself properly. But it was God that gave me the ability to do that. It was God that gave me the power to overcome my enemies. It wasn't me, because all I was doing was obeying and doing the right thing. Now let's bring this into 2021. Things are waxing worse and worse in the world. How you respond to people, how you respond to the world, you will be called into question for. The question is, are you going to respond with your iniquity, with your response? Or are you going to respond with what we've been told, how to endure affliction? Are you going to be vocal? And I've said this, so I'm not going to excuse it anymore. You're just going to have to take it for what it is. But Facebook is one of the biggest lies that people live that I've ever seen in my life. They say things there that they don't mean. And nobody knows. How can you have a clear conscience? I'm this way. I'm this way. When you know for a fact you're not this way. Oh, well, I think I am. It doesn't matter what you think. David, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, was allowed to write this down about his own life. Not only that, but the Bible tells us that we are to follow in the steps of Jesus, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Reviling is coming. How we respond had better be with this. We're not going to just say things to stir people up. This is where we stand. We don't go out and pick a fight, But we are ready to defend ourselves before God and man with a clear conscience. That's what 1 Peter chapter number 2 is all about. It, right after that, it's amazing that he talks about husband and wife relationships. And it's very rare that you can get somebody that goes, well, I've lived with a good conscience. I mean, whenever I'm reviled, I reviled not again. No, everybody says this. Well, I give them a piece of my mind. Great. That was not in the Bible. We're supposed to follow an example. How are we going to stand and give and defend ourselves like Paul did with a good conscience if all we did was go around and call people idiots and call people this and say this and this and this, picking fights? Well, I can't believe that you even believe that. Why even go there? The truth of the matter is, we live in a wicked world, and wicked people are in charge, and they're going to get worse and worse and worse. That's a fact from the Bible. And the truth is, most of this America has brought on itself, even down to the church level. The church has brought this on themselves. We live more carnally than we ever have in the history of the church. Even in the 60s, the church was right on target. They started coming in with the Christian mood music, is what I like to call it now, because that's all it is. And they came in with that Christian mood music, you know. Kids of fire burning. And everybody's like, oh, that's a dumb song. Real Christian people are going, I'm not singing that. I'm telling you, we have to be careful. But they didn't go out and say, that's a dumb song to you. They said, we're just not going to do that. No. Dressing like this is not okay. Acting like this is not okay. Just because drugs are legal doesn't mean you should do them. Just because alcohol is legal, you shouldn't do it. Why? The Bible's very specific about strong drink. Why argue? You can't stand before God with a good conscience if you don't agree with Him. There's coming a day when we're going to have to stand probably in court somewhere and give an account. And you know what? We may go to jail. I know of a couple right now that are in jail because of false accusations that have been made against them. They started a girls' home years and years ago, and one of the girls from early 2000s came back, got a bunch of girls together and accused them of things that never happened. And they are in jail right now without bond, without bail. They are not letting them see people. They are in solitary confinement. They are, and you know what they're doing? Saying, well, you should have never made the girls read the Bible. Yeah. That's abuse. You know what they can stand and say? We didn't do any of those things. We gave them the Bible because that was part of our structure. They knew what they were coming for. Do you know, to the world, that's not a defense anymore. But they can be in jail right now with a clear conscience. That's the question. Will you be able to sit in jail with a clear conscience? That you obeyed God rather than man? Oh, I don't want to do that. Well, the day's coming when you are going to stand before God. And you will stand before Him, and your conscience will be revealed. And He will say, your conscience was bothered. Why didn't you follow what I said to do? Wouldn't it be better to stand before Him with a clear conscience, knowing that you kept His word, that He kept you from your iniquity? Our prayer lives are hindered because our consciences aren't right. Our consciences aren't right because we've chosen our way rather than God's way. Your relationships, your prayer life, your ability to read the Bible, if you find it difficult to read the Bible and keep your mind on it, you need to check your conscience. You need to get down on your knees and beg God to reveal to you what it is that's keeping you and hindering you from reading and understanding His Word. If you have a problem with family or people in the church, or maybe people out of the church, the right thing to do is get your conscience right and get right with them. Well, what if they don't want to get right with me? Do the right thing. Let God do the rest. That's what David was able to say. I did the right thing. God did the rest. Obedience, there's no pride in it. It's simply obeying. And God always rewards according to the obedience by showing us, this is our reward, more things to obey, which draws us closer to Him. Do you have a good conscience with God and with man? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody looking around.